Daniel Mark Epstein has written numerous plays and acclaimed biographies of an eclectic group of historical figures that includes Amy Semple McPherson, Nat King Cole, Bob Dylan, and Abraham Lincoln. He has also garnered prizes for his 8 books of poetry, and this morning he joins me in the studio to talk about his latest collection of new and selected poems, which includes work that spans nearly 50 years. It's called Dawn to Twilight. Dan, it's really good to see you again.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
And congratulations on this collection, which, as I mentioned, you know, starts in the 60s and goes right up to the present time. It's a terrific, terrific collection. Is this an opportunity to sort of look back on this amazing body of work of yours?
It's an extraordinary opportunity for me to see what I've written over the last 50 years, what my poetry has included, as well as the things that it hasn't included. So it's been a very good kind of self-critical exercise for me. I'm very happy with the poems that I have written. I think that during each period of my life, from my 20s until my 60s, really, I've been able to write about the things that mattered most to me, being in love, getting married, fatherhood, trying to be a good son, trying to understand about education, educating students, learning from my children, learning from my parents. That's another big theme in the book.
Sure.
I'm very happy about that dimension of the poetry.
Do you see a progression in your style? Do you see a progression in your craft? Do they get better as you get older?
I think so. I've learned more about metrics. I've learned more about sound. I think that my effects are probably more subtle. The rhymes are not so harsh when there is rhyme. I think that my imagery is more pointed and careful than it was when I was younger. And of course, the main thing is that I know more.
Yeah.
I know more about life. I've felt more things, and I have more of a sense of what needs to be said and what can be left out.
Well, I wanted to ask you to read several poems. I wonder if we could start with Old Man by the River. And talking about knowing more, this is an earlier poem, and the poems are arranged basically chronologically. So this is an early one, but it's about old age. And so it's interesting to me to get your young man's take on an old man's life.
Well, thank you. That's one of the dimensions that I like to capture in my poetry. Old Man by the River. Flood tide, boats glide high above the bank, daylilies crane to look into the sun. What kind of friends would leave me here alone, an empty house behind me, a full graveyard ranging from my door to the garrulous river? Kind friends and true to leave me with my thoughts. My teeth are gone, my hair's a white cyclone. I have more secrets than heaven will ever know. Take my daffodils. What a bargain of light for the reckless April that discovers them. Little girls with lightning quick hands arrest the leaping blossoms in mid-flight and lay them on my doorstep in the night. Today I scared the boy who brings the news. I'm a weathered man, the adventure of whose conversation nature has immured. Three walls are deadpan stone, the last is the river. Who will I talk to when the river runs away?
Daniel Mark Epstein reading Old Man by the River from his latest collection of poems, Dawn to Twilight.
And I was about, 23 years old when I wrote that
poem.
Right.
So what
about
the
old man?
Well, what do we know about old age when we're 23? Well, you know, it seems like you actually knew a fair amount. And, I mean, do you think your take on senior citizenhood holds up pretty well now that you're getting close to being a senior citizen yourself?
Well, there's a certain innocence about these two old men. There are a couple of old man poems here. About when they're dying, they're going to take the whole world with them. They're going to take the sun and the moon, and their children will have to find their way in the dark. That's really not the way I see things now. These are poems that about pretending to be an old man that I could only have written as a young man.
Right, exactly. There's another I'd like you to read. It's called Helen. This even has a traditional rhyme scheme. This is a poem.
It's a little dialogue between a teacher who's teaching a music class, and his students are, they're wanting a love story. They're tired of the regular music lesson they've been getting. Helen, tell us a love story, pleaded the class in chorus. Our lessons are all done. Now don't lecture or bore us, they prattled, except for one. Helen, whose gaze looked lost in the maze of willow branches, the girl the boys liked most for the faraway blue of her eyes and brown hair straight as rain. Tell us a love story, please, they begged the teacher again. He frowned and longed for the bell, saying, all the love stories I know end in heartache or death. Then Helen, from the back row, called at last from her daydream in the voice of an innocent lover, tell us a love story anyway, and stop before it is over.
Oh, I love that. Stop before it is over. There are a couple of other great love poems in here. There's one that I'm intending to steal very soon and send it to my wife anonymously. It's called The Date. As you said, love and love's lost and love's gained are you know, themes throughout the book, as they are themes throughout anybody's life. But I love this one.
Well, thank you. The Date. Just as you were about to step out in your sleek black sequin dress, fresh from the secondhand store, veteran chic, as only a 50-year-old dress knows how to be. Just as you pulled the shades down by the ring and shut the door, as you were walking toward night and the rest of your life, a lover, a quiet place where you might find one. Just as you stopped for the passing car that braked so the boys could whistle as you kicked back your leg, looked over your shoulder to check if the stocking seam had run askew. Just as you passed outside the bar, I saw you as you saw yourself in the turtle shell compact, making sure it was the same you as left home. Just then, you thought of my words, felt warm inside, and now you must stay with me forever.
You must stay with me forever.
It's in a tradition of poems that attempt to capture the reader in the magic of the words. Now you must stay with me forever because my words are in your head.
Yeah, yeah. Every writer's dream, I guess, right? I mean, what's the perfect reader for a poem that you've written?
Well, I think it's somebody who's coming to the poem with an open mind and an open heart. Poetry is the communication of a passion. The good reader of poems, I think, is a collaborator. You know, he or she brings to the poem their own experiences. If you're a woman reading this poem, hopefully you'll imagine yourself in the role of that woman. Or if you're a man reading the poem, you'll imagine you're the poet.
Daniel Mark Epstein is talking about his new book, Dawn to Twilight, New and Selected Poems. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. You've written a bunch of biographies. It's one of the other things that you do. Last time you were on the show, we talked about this terrific book you wrote about Bob Dylan. There's a couple of biographical and several autobiographical poems here in this collection. One of the ones that I thought was really fascinating is called Magic for Houdini.
As I was mentioning earlier, I'm fascinated by virtuosity, and Houdini, of course, was one of the greatest magicians of all time. And here he's attending a performance by lesser musicians and magicians and trying to be gracious, which he is. Magic for Houdini. After the feast in his honor, the magician checked his watch, blinked, palmed a yawn, as amateurs turned water into wine or wine into water, and beamed at his applause. Next, one held a cigarette paper rolled betwixt thumb and forefinger and beguiled the crowd with faultless patter, promising to turn this sheer paper into a live moth. Gracefully, he rolled the paper. Smiling, he made a fist. But then the truth upstaged the actor, as it sometimes does. When he opened up his hand again, the smile that had been poised above success died on his lips. Where life should have been, a flutter of fresh wings as the moth flew free, death left its ashes, the poor bug's remains. Knowing the greatest delusion ends in folly, as even the best magicians fail sometimes to make the incredible act a certainty, Houdini raised his hands to start a round of clapping to mask the man's embarrassment, a simple trick of professional courtesy, for the thing boldly attempted, bravely lost, and maybe a little sympathy for the moth. But then the audience drew in its breath. A living moth came flying from nowhere and circled the mortified magician's hair once, twice, three times. Crackling applause that might have come from pity came from fear, and no one's dread ran deeper than the master's, who was all too familiar with these powers of darkness. He would be dead within a year.
In the notes to the book, you say that this book is there's an absence of longer and dramatic poems. You've purposely chosen shorter poems that you say emerge as a unified autobiography. So in Houdini, you prove again your great adroitness at writing biography, because you've written a bunch of actual biographies. But I wonder, what do we learn autobiographically about you as a person and as a poet and as a writer reading these poems in this collection?
This particular book really does follow the arc of my life from my early 20s to my 60s as a poet learning his craft, as a young man falling in love, not just once but several times, and eventually getting married. There are poems about my marriage. There are poems about being a young father. There are poems about my relationship with my own parents as I was learning from my children. I was also learning how to take care of my parents, who eventually would need my support. So it follows that part of my life as a family man. And it also follows my life as a witness to history in the 20th, in the 21st century. There's a poem, there are poems about Iraq. There's a poem about 9/11. And autobiographically saying, what was it like to be a poet and an observer and a citizen in America? At those exact moments. And I'm very proud, you know, that I was able to, that my muse engaged those larger themes as well as the private themes of my own life.
I wonder if you could read the title poem for us. This is dedicated to your mother, and it's inspired by a Victor Hugo poem.
Dawn to Twilight. Tomorrow morning, while the dew is fresh, brightening the green fields, I will set out in my car for the eastern shore, where I know you are waiting for me. I will leave Baltimore and cross the Severn, the blue tidewater cut with white sails. I will drive over the Bay Bridge as mist unveils the ships and barges far below. In no hurry. I know you will be waiting, though I do not want to be away from you a minute longer. When I get to the village, I will take the left fork that goes north along the lane of red cedar trees, then park the car and walk, hearing nothing, seeing nothing, my hands clasped behind me, holding each other. I will not notice the first stars of twilight or hear the last songbirds of the day. Night and day will seem all the same to me. When at last I reach my destination, I shall place upon your grave one sunflower from the field across the way.
That's so beautiful. And then, of course, when you find out that it's dedicated to your mom and you realize that the person is not going out on a date, but rather going someplace else, it's just really stunning. Really appreciate your coming by and sharing some.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Daniel Mark Epstein, his new collection of poems is called Dawn to Twilight. Dan will be reading from his collection tonight at the Ivy Bookshop in North Baltimore. That event starts at 7 o'clock. And for folks in Chestertown, Dan will be reading at the Book Plate on Friday night at 6 o'clock. We've got a link to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, Dr. Pam Peek will check in with her about the correlation between stress and fat.